Welcome to the Essential Leadership Podcast, a resource from Auberly Baptist Church here in East Texas, where each week we are engaging in thought-provoking discussion and study as we look at some leadership lessons and discover some things that God has shown us in Scripture. And right now, of course, we're looking at the life of Moses. I'm Andy Hill. I'm the executive pastor here at Auberly Baptist Church. And our lesson tonight is specifically coming from Exodus chapters 11 and 12. And our lesson is that leaders lead others to do the right thing. We're excited to have Gary Claxton with us. He is a member. He and his wife live in Carthage. And he is the vice chairman of the Panola National Bank. And so, Gary, we're so glad that you joined us tonight. Thank you for giving us some time and coming over from Carthage to be with us on a Wednesday night midweek. Why don't you take just a few minutes and talk a little bit about yourself and your family, introduce us to your family, and let us know a little bit more about you.
Thank you. Thank you, Andy. I appreciate that. It's really a pleasure to be here this evening. I'm honored to be here. My wife and I have been members here from Auberly for a number of years, and yes, we drive up from Carthage. Let me tell you, there's a reason we do that. It's a real blessing. My wife Susan's here. Susan, raise your hand. There you go. We've been married 45 years, and we have two daughters. Our oldest daughter and her husband, actually, they were members here at Auberly several years before we were. They have recently moved to the about 10 years ago, moved to the Dallas area. It's Heather and Adam Leggett. I don't know if any of you by chance know them, but we have four grandchildren with Heather and Adam. Then also we have our younger daughter, Molly, who's married. And you might know, she's married to Mitchell Skeen. You might know Jimmy and Terry Skeen. Mitchell's our son-in-law. So we have two grandchildren with them. So anyway, I've been at Panola National Bank for now about a little over 30 years now. And I've been in banking for about 40 years. I started out as a bank examiner with the United States Treasury Department. Then I did that for about 4 years and went into banking. And it's a career that I've really enjoyed. It's a people business, and I'm very blessed I've had an opportunity to be in this profession. Mm.
Well, we're so glad that you are here and here at Auberly and here with us tonight. And so we want to talk a little bit more about Moses, and I know that you've been listening in and kind of know where we've been, and Brandon shared a little bit more with you about tonight's lesson. And so if we kind of set the stage and look at Moses, where he has been and what's been happening here in the story in Exodus, all these plagues, as God has called Moses to go and to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And so Moses has been doing that. And when Pharaoh said no, these plagues were being sent, and there was just plague after plague after plague. In chapter 10, there was this eighth plague. And if we get to the end of Exodus chapter 10, it says this in verse 27. It says, "But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was unwilling to let them go." And in verse 28, Pharaoh said to him, "Leave me, make sure you never see my face again. For on the day you see my face, you will die." And Moses replied and said, "I will never see your face again." Now, those are pretty strong words from Pharaoh. Pharaoh is basically saying, "I don't want to see you again, and if I do, I will kill you." Now, Moses' response, interestingly enough, was, "You never will see my face again." But Moses wasn't saying that out of fear. I don't know that he was saying it with incredible confidence either, but he knew that God had this. God was in control. God had already come and done several things and showed himself And so Moses was able to, as you have said, as we were talking beforehand, he was able to be persistent and persevere because of what he had seen God do. And so as we get to chapter 11, where we start tonight, we see Pharaoh has grown very weary of Moses and what is happening here because he feels like he is losing control. Things are happening that are affecting his people, the Egyptians. And so I want us to think about that a little bit, particularly this strong leader and things are spinning out of control. And I think there's a truth here that we can learn from, that life can be unpredictable and God's ways are not our ways. When things seem to get out of control, when we feel like we're losing control and things aren't going the way we planned, what are some things that maybe you have learned from your own experiences about when things seem to be going out of control in your own life? Maybe you'll share one of those experiences
sure,
with us.
Sure, should be glad to. Thank you. You know, at work, and I think we think about this at work and in our life situations, we're all presented with challenges where things are just seem like they're out of control. Things are not going as planned. It's not on our timing. You know, Moses had been to the Pharaoh many times and asked him to let the people of Israel go. And there were, you know, if you think about this, I'm not the only person that does this, but how many of you wake up in the middle, early of a morning and think about, oh my goodness, I've got to do this today and I've got to do this today. And you think about the challenges that you have in front of you, maybe whether it be personally or professionally. And I do that a lot. But one of the key things that I've learned in these situations is perseverance and continuing to strive in the face of obstacles and setbacks. Is that easy? No, it's not the easiest thing to do. But in my morning quiet time a few days ago, I was reading in the book of James, and where James said, we're going to face trials of many kinds. And he said, he goes on to say that the testing of our faith develops perseverance. Mm. And perseverance must finish its work so that we may mature and be complete. When I wake up each morning, I sit on the side of the bed. And before I try to let my feet hit the floor, I pray one of my favorite scriptures in the book of Psalm. And it says, this is the day the Lord has made, and I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Does it mean that I'm overwhelmed with joy about maybe facing the challenges of that day? No, it does not. But I'll go back on blessed assurance. I have the confidence that I know that the Lord has placed me in my position of responsibility, whether it be work and my family, and he's going to see me through with his will and his guidance.
Yeah. You know, I know that all of us can relate to the idea of sometimes facing a day and thinking about what that day may hold. There can be trials. Everyone sitting here probably has experienced some trials or know that some trials are coming. And it can be tough. It can be hard. And so being able to lean on our Heavenly Father, to go to God and know that He's in control. Moses, man, he was in the thick of a battle. He really was. So these 8-9 plagues previous here to chapter 11, and where we pick up in chapter 11, God says, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will drive you out of here. So God not only responds here to Moses with an answer. You know, Moses, again, he really is waiting to hear from God and for God to say, the time has now come. I mean, he's been going through this process, plague after plague after plague after plague. I can only imagine Moses probably was wondering, hey, when's the last plague going to hit and when are you just going to free the people? You know, and so these plagues, plague after plague, and God finally says to Moses, I will do one more. I will give one more plague. And I'm going to ultimately harden Pharaoh's heart. Not only will he let you go, but in fact, he's going to drive you out. Man, that's pretty cool. This guy who's had them as slaves, who's been trying to keep them, he isn't just going to say to them, hey, I'm going to let you go. Now, I wonder if that wasn't because God wondered if the Egyptians might, or the Hebrews might have stayed, if Pharaoh didn't actually drive them out. I mean, we even hear it kind of in their wanderings time and time again. The Egyptians or the Hebrews thought, man, I wish that we were just back in Egypt. And so not only did God say, I'm going to free you, but Pharaoh is going to drive you out. They're going to have to leave. So Moses is now seeing this light at the end of a tunnel. Sometimes when we're going through some of these trials, when we're dealing with some of these things in life, when we know what the day might be, what it might be bringing, or maybe this month or something's coming, but we've been going through just a challenging process, and we've been dealing with all this stuff, and then all of a sudden you kind of realize, hey, the end is coming. The end is near. Something is about to happen. This is real. I just wonder, have you ever been in any of those moments as a leader?
Oh, yes. I can, you know, one of the things that impressed me about this, Moses persevered. That's two words that kept coming to me. He persevered. You know, despite the many setbacks he had from the Pharaoh, the Lord told Moses that the Pharaoh's hardness would come to an end. And Moses finally saw the light at the end. You know, I've had many experiences like that in my life, personally and professionally, and I know each one of you have. When our oldest daughter, Heather, was a young teenager, Susan and I decided we wanted to have another child. And after numerous miscarriages and actually losing a child at birth, which was very difficult, we had many difficult days. But the Lord's in the Lord's perfect timing, he gave us another child, and that was Molly. We prayed so long for another child, and our prayer was answered. We're so thankful for her. And our two daughters are 16 years apart, but the Lord blessed us in his timing. You know, and I've also had situations in my banking career, despite, you know, the training that I've had, frankly, I've faced situations that I just didn't really know what course of action to take. And I think we've all reached that point where even in our jobs, wherever, whatever we do, we ask the Lord, say, Lord, give me the ability to discern the action that I need to take, because at times you just don't know what's the best course of action. And I think one thing that I've learned from this study is that we all need to pray for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding on an ongoing basis about how to respond in certain situations, whether it be in our personal or our professional lives.
You know, I think for sure I can relate to the idea you're 16 years apart. So my wife and I, we have two 16-year-olds. They're twins. And we weren't trying or planning on another one, but God blessed us with another one. She's now three. I can tell you that sometimes with the teenagers, I'm looking for a light at the end of the tunnel.
I understand. I understand.
But man, God is so faithful and so good, and how he blesses us and what we can see him do. Even here in this story, to look at Moses and the Hebrew people, the Israelites, and just to think about what God is at the midst of doing here. And so God said, not only am I going to free the people and he's going to drive you out, but let's read verses 4-6 here in Exodus 11. And it says this, so Moses said, this is what Yahweh says, about midnight I will go throughout Egypt, and every firstborn male in the land of Egypt will die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne to the firstborn of the servant girl who is behind the millstones, as well as every firstborn of the livestock. Then there will be a great cry of anguish through all the land of Egypt, such as never was before or ever will be again. God doesn't just say, I'm going to do something. He says, this is what I'm going to do. And this final plague, this last plague, the 10th plague, was going to impact the Egyptians really in a way that none of the others had impacted them. Because the firstborn, whether male or female, was going to pass away, was going to be taken. Their life was going to be taken. And not only even just the firstborn, but even of the livestock. This was going to be significant. This was really going to strike at the heart of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. This was going to be widespread. The people were going to suffer because of the leadership. In this sense, God really did. He drew a line in the sand and said, this is it. This is a boundary. And I'm done with the plagues and this other stuff. Your heart is now hardened, and I'm going to have to do something, and this is what I'm going to do. And it's going to affect you, and you're going to, ultimately, he knew Pharaoh was going to respond. So these moments where a line gets drawn in the sand, and maybe particularly thinking as a leader, when you're trying to lead others, and here Moses is telling the Hebrew people, man, God's going to free us. And God has drawn a line in the sand here, and it's going to happen. Have you ever had moments where you've had to lead people across some of those lines in the sand yourself, these difficult times where a line's been drawn and it's just time to have to go? It's time for something to be done.
I've had occasions like that in the banking career. I'm sure like many of you have in your areas of work, there's always constant change going on. And that's particularly true in banking. I made a comment here several years ago that I've seen more changes in the banking industry in the last 5 years than I've seen in the previous 30. And sometimes it's difficult to bring some of the people that are maybe my age willing to move forward.
It's hard to do that in church too.
Yes,
let me tell you sometimes.
I understand. But, you know, my bank is that I'm with, Pinellas National Bank. We're a small community bank. We have our bank in Carthage. We have one location in Marshall. And we only have about 30 employees, but we've been blessed with great employees and with little turnover. Mm. And when people go to work for us, they don't leave, and I'm very thankful for that. Our employees are like one big family. We celebrate with each other, and we grieve with each other. There have been some few occasions where, you know, I've had to required to make difficult decisions about personnel issues or things like that. Due to the privacy issues, I can't really go into great detail. But sometimes, you know, I've had to make those difficult decisions, and I've drawn the line in the sand. And this is just where we are as we move forward. And sometimes you don't really obtain the desired outcome that you'd like, but it's for the best of the people and for our bank, the decision that was made to move forward. But there are times where you have to draw the line in the sand.
Yeah, and that can be hard, particularly where people are involved. Mm-hmm. You know, you care about people. God cared about people. God cared about the Israelite children. And I think he cared about Pharaoh and his people as well. But you know, God has a plan and God has a direction. And of course, it was Moses' job to do what God called him to do. And so Moses was leading these people in a difficult way. But God communicated very clearly and very precisely that this is what needed to happen and this is what was going to happen. And so Moses was leading. Moses was doing what God had called him to do. I want us to press forward and actually get to Exodus 12 and look at a few verses here in Exodus 12. God continues to give clear and precise instructions to Moses and ultimately to the people of Israel. And so he says things like in verse 2, he says, "This month is to be the beginning of months for you. It is the first month of your year. as the Israelites' people have now come out from under the Egyptians, and they're beginning to engage in some of their own life. God is beginning to give them some very clear instructions about how they're to function and live and begin to move forward. And so he says, this is going to be the first month of your year. This is how your year begins. In verses 3 through 6, he actually gives some very clear instructions about animal sacrifice and how they're to select and how they're to present animals when they sacrifice. In verse 7, he says this, they must take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses where they eat them. Of course, we know that this ultimately was a part of that Passover thing. And so when they would sacrifice, that they would take the blood and they would put it on the doorposts and the lintel. And so God's giving them instructions to how to care for them. In verses 8 through 10, he talks to them about how they are to prepare and eat the meat of the sacrifice. And then in verse 11, he even talks to them about their dress, how they are to dress. And so he says, here's now how you must eat. You must be dressed for travel. Your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. You are to eat in a hurry. It is the Lord's Passover. So he's talking about these celebrations and things that ultimately are to come. Festivals, and so we're beginning to see that God is preparing them for the days to head. And God communicates very clearly and very specifically throughout these verses about how they are to live and function and do life and worship and all these different components of what they are to be doing in this process. I wonder your thought about communication and clear communication in particular as a leader.
Well, I gave this a lot of thought. I got thinking about how God communicated and then, of course, Moses in turn communicating with the people. If you think about communicating, it really goes beyond just the verbal communication. Before I even make another comment, I'd like to mention the fact that I think integrity is one of the most valuable and respected qualities of leadership. To be an effective leader, I'm convinced who can communicate with those you lead, you've got to have integrity. That person must possess character. I can mention we had two daughters, and every time before they've left for college, the first time they've left, I always sit down and write them an extensive letter because I have so much in my mind that I don't want to tell them. I think it's about 6 pages long. I've kept copies of it, but now I think, oh no, here's a letter from Dad. But I try to communicate thoughts that are important to me and that I want to convey to them as they go off to school. And one of the things I told them, both of them, that when they left for college, if you're talking about reputation, and by definition, it's a public perception of your character. Mm. But character is what you do when no one's watching.
Yeah.
And if you're a leader and you strive to maintain impeccable character, you don't have to worry about your reputation. It comes about. A good reputation will follow. And secondly, I think you lead and communicate by example. And I often heard one person say one time I thought about Moses. He clearly communicated to the people of Israel what the Lord had commanded.
Yeah.
And he led them in obedience. And a true leader, if you think about it, they know the way, they go that way, and they show the way. And if you're passionate about the message that you're sharing, about what you know or care about, it shines through and the people will follow.
Wow. You know, I like that statement that you just made. He led them in obedience. Not only did he hear God's commands and God's communication, he shared that with the people. Mm-hmm. and he led them in obedience to do the things that God had commanded. That really is true leadership. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, hear God, these communications, I mean, this 10th plague is about to hit. And in Exodus 12, in verse 12, God says, I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and strike every firstborn male in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. I am Yahweh. I will execute judgments against all the gods of Egypt. The blood on the houses where you are staying will be a distinguishing mark for you. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No plague will be among you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And so Moses, their leader, he had to communicate this very clearly. If their children, if their firstborn were to be protected, it was vital that they did this thing that God commanded. In the same way as a leader, it is vital that we know and understand and we lead ourselves and we lead others in obedience, that we do know, we do show, that we do go, that we do those things you just talked about. I think those are key and good principles for any of us as leaders. And so I wonder, in the banking world, right, it is important to be exact. Is that, at least I want you to be exact with my banking account.
I understand.
Right? I don't want you to lose anything there, unless you go the opposite way. If you'll add more to it, I'm great.
Yeah. And there are people who think that if that happens, they can go ahead and spend it.
Absolutely,
that,
so, right? It's mine now, right?
Right. Yes.
I guess that's not.
No.
I can't do that. Okay.
No.
I won't do that next time. Well, being exact is critical. And so, man, have you learned some important lessons, or do you have some important lessons in being able to do things the right way and leading others to do that as well?
You know, for the most part, if you think about it, banks offer the same financial services. And I know in Longview and Tyler and Carthage, it always gives the impression, you get the impression we're overbanked. Mm. You know, you see branches everywhere. We all offer the same services. But we try to convey to our employees that that the way we deliver those services separates us from the competition. Now, we pride ourselves on being a small community bank. When people come in the door, we call them by their name, and we know them by their name and not their number. And it makes our customers want to come back and do business with us on an ongoing basis. And we really have no margins for error in our business. We are caretakers of your funds.
Yeah.
And our mission is clear. I mean, we provide quality services to our clients. We spend a lot of time, money, and effort to equip our employees to do the best that they can do in that area. You know, really taking pride in the work that you do. God gave us our positions and our work, and I just feel like we have that responsibility not only to our families and to our customers, but also to the Lord Himself to do the best that we can. And I feel like those are the things that you need to really look at when, and also it sets examples in leading other people.
I think that, leadership is about, one, leading yourself, but it is leading others as well. And so I think the story here that we see particularly in Exodus 11 and 12, and looking at this 10th plague, looking at this final plague, I think, one, we really do see something about God and His purpose and plan and how He is going to work and move to carry out His plan for His people. But in that, at times, there are things that He does communicate to us, and we have a responsibility to hear that. We have a responsibility to know that, and we have a responsibility to be obedient to it and lead others in obedience as well. And so I think there are some really valuable lessons here in Exodus chapters 11 and 12, particularly as God is getting ready to free His people, as they are getting ready to experience the freedom that they have been promised and that Moses has been telling them about. Well, Gary, it's been so good to have you here. I want to thank you for joining us here at our Essential Leadership Podcast. And maybe you guys would give Gary a hand and thank him for joining us as well.
Thank you.
We do want to encourage you to go to mobberly.org/leadership, and you can listen to other episodes and podcasts, and you can also find these episodes in iTunes. Next week, as we come back, we'll be learning about leaders leading during trying times. Casey Robertson, who is the administrator at Longview Regional Medical Center, will be joining us. So again, we want to thank you guys for joining us here, and hope that you will take the next step in your personal development as a leader yourself. Thank you guys so much.